I think there's one thing in my business that I have struggled with more than almost anything else. And it's something that I've seen from almost all of my clients and everyone that I've helped along the way over the past few years. And that is coming up with set studio policies that serve them and their business well, but also don't serve as a deterrent from anyone wanting to do business with them. So we're going to talk about studio policies today, why you need them and why you need to enforce them. So let's get into it on the Focal Points podcast by Enphoto. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dori Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love. Before I was a photographer, I was a voice teacher, and I taught voice out of my home for many clients for several years. And at the time, I was in school for a vocal performance degree, and people would come to my home. They would find me on Craigslist. I know that was crazy, but they would come to my home and they would want voice lessons. And I taught a classical technique. And so I had a lot of people come into my home that maybe weren't of the same, I would say, interest level in music. Maybe they were more interested in pop music and that type of thing. And they just had a different level of weight when it came to these lessons. And because I was inviting people into my home, which I didn't have a problem with, I didn't feel an issue with safety or anything like that. But because I was inviting them into my home, I discovered there were a lot of things that people would do in my home that I needed to set the record straight from the very beginning as more people came in, if that makes sense. So if someone did something that I was not comfortable with, I decided I needed to make a policy so that people could see before they arrived at my home, there were certain things that were expected. So certain things that happened when people came into my home, one was I had people walk through all my flower beds one time. I had one man try to light up in my living room. I had another one who was a law enforcement officer come in and lay his loaded weapons on my coffee table while we had our lesson. And those were sort of just a few things that I was not comfortable with besides just the come on time, here's the late policy, here's the payment policy, and things like that. I found myself having to add things into my studio policies that I never even imagined I would have to address. Like, I never imagined someone would try and light up in my home. Like, dude, are you serious? And as soon as I saw him start to do it, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Yeah, no, you can't do that on my property here. And when I saw a person let their children run through my flower beds, I realized, okay, I need to address the fact that people shouldn't be running through my flower beds. And so for those types of things, it was really easy. I had a one-pager sheet where I just said, hey, before you, please review this before you come for your lesson. This is what is expected of you when you arrive at my home. I expected them to become well-rehearsed. I expected them to have their music in hand. I expected them to not run through my flower garden and all those different things. So I had experience in setting policies and the importance of policies before I started my photography business. Now, when I started my photography business, that was a whole nother thing because it wasn't just for a voice lesson. And I mostly taught adults in my voice lessons. So I was dealing with adults. But then when I opened my photography business, I was dealing with adults and then how they also dealt with their children, different disciplinary methods and that type of thing, where it kind of opened the bag to a whole new reason why studio policies were important. Now, a lot of people, when they think of studio policies, they think of payment policies, image and delivery usage, studio hours, late arrivals, privacy policies, model policies, booking and cancellation policies. But what I discovered was that policies went way beyond just like the logistics of booking with me and payment fees and late payments and late arrivals and that type of thing. It came to sometimes to be a situation where I need to communicate to people how I expected them to act and how I expected them to treat their children, because I knew that how they treated their children was really, really important because we wanted a certain result. Children don't do well when they are constantly threatened on the sidelines by parents saying, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to spank you. Children don't do well when they're being threatened and parents aren't getting the result that they want. And that was the biggest thing that I needed to address in my studio policies. So I had a policy, and I still do have a policy, that there is no spanking in my studio, None whatsoever. I have something that says, you know, for the time that we are together, we are not going to be worried about raising well-mannered children. Like, that's pretty much how it says. We're not going to be worried about well-mannered children. So I have in my studio policies of what people can expect that sometimes, especially with younger children and especially with those cute little boys, right? We will talk about bodily functions and we will talk about sometimes the fact that daddy might wear diapers and we may talk about things that don't necessarily pass the vibe check when it comes to dining room conversation or what you would talk about around the dinner table, but they do get the results that we want for pictures because we all know children have this playful attitude that we want to try and get out when it comes to their portrait sessions, right? That totally makes sense to me. But it was important that I put this down in writing and gave it to my clients ahead of time so that they knew what to expect when it came time to working with me. And those are all things that I've had to learn being in business. And I also know that some of those things are unique to me. Now, there would be times where I would send out my agreement, my session agreement to a client, and they'd be a business owner or something like that. And they just kind of reply back and they say, you have some really, really interesting policies here. I'm assuming that you put these in because someone did something at a session that you felt it needed to be addressed. And I said, yes, everything in my policies is there because I have experience. I have a lot of experience dealing with families. And if I don't want a child spanked, or if I don't want someone getting in a fist fight or any violence at my sessions, which has happened, I needed to address that in the policies and also make it clear that if these things do happen, the session is over and they're not getting their money back. Like, I'm the one who decides when the session is over, and you will not be getting your money back if you spank your child, if you get in a fist fight in the parking lot, if you're more than 20 minutes late or 15 minutes late, if you do break these policies, that's just it. I'm still keeping your session retainer. And it's opened up having some really interesting conversations with parents. And dare I say, it's usually with the mom. Because moms are the ones who book these portrait sessions, right? We know that. And also allowed for a few interesting conversations when it came to dealing with the dads. Dads, especially when they feel like this is a really big financial investment that they don't really see the need for, they can show up to sessions wired a little bit tight. Right? And if you're a family photographer, I know you've seen this. I know you've seen the stereotypical dad who has shown up. He's only there because his wife is making him. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't seem the need for it. He's a little bit reluctant to do anything you want to do. And you're getting forced expressions at all. So I actually have it in my studio policy that there will be candy. And don't worry, dad, I got you covered. Like, I try and address this right away, especially with the spouse who might be booking the session. And so putting these policies in place and addressing these things right away when it comes to my client has really helped me avoid quite a few problems. So I find that when it comes to setting up your studio policies, there's a few things that you should probably keep in mind so that you avoid some of the uncomfortable things that can happen if you don't put these policies in place. And we're going to get into that right after this word from our sponsor, Enphoto. Creating a beautiful product line to show to our clients and present to our clients sometimes can be really difficult because the options seem endless. One thing that my clients love and what I offer everyone is the Complete Set by Enphoto. It's a 3-in-1 combo product that allows me to give them a beautiful presentation box, a USB, and also a book or an album of all their images from their event or their session. And it's something that is a hit every single time. If you're looking for samples for your studio, absolutely take advantage of the 75% discount that Enphoto offers all new clients. Head over to our show notes page and grab that sample discount today. Okay, so say you have this big list of studio policies that you want to put in place. I would suggest that you run them by your coach or someone like that just to make sure that they are reasonable, right? You can only put in policies, what you are going to enforce. So the only thing that I can really enforce, or the only control that I really have at a session, is I can stop the session early and I can keep the retainer and I can put that in writing so that they know about it ahead of time. But why is it important for you to have these studio policies? I think that's something that is really, really important to discuss, because some people, if they haven't had the experience that I have had with my business and dealing with clients for almost 15 years, they may not see a need for some of these things. But the number one reason why you need to have firm studio policies, it makes you look more professional. Establishing clear studio policies demonstrates that you are professional and you take your job and your profession seriously, right? Having set guidelines can ensure a smooth transition. It also allows you to be consistent with every single client. You don't want to be switching up policies or guidelines with every other client. It's too hard to keep track of. And eventually that's going to bite you, right? So it makes sure that you can be consistent with all of your clients. Also, with your studio policies, it can protect you from certain liability. If you tell your parents, do not spank your children, and for some reason something happens and someone else sees them being spanked and it's reported to the police, there can be a liability in there for you. And by you saying, I do not tolerate this, session is over, if I see this, we're not going to go down this road, it relieves you of certain liability. It also can make you more efficient. Having good studio policies helps you when it comes to efficiency, because you've set up these things from the very beginning, so you're not going to have to go back and address them after the fact, right? It's one of those things where if you say that you're 15 minutes late and your policy says that if you're 15 minutes late, that the session is over and you keep the retainer, you don't have to go back and explain that. Your client should understand, yeah, I was kind of late. And I also know that most people are going to give their clients a really nice grace period. You're not just going to cut that off right away. So there's that as well. But clear communication is really, really important when it comes to your clients in every step of the transaction with you. And having these policies posted, having these policies sent to them ahead of time, is one of the biggest favors that you can do for your business. It helps you run a more successful and more professional studio, and it protects you and your clients from potential issues and misunderstandings. So you've set some of your policies and you know why you need to set these policies, but what happens when you're challenged on these policies by either a client, a future client, a former client? What if they come back and say, yeah, no, I want to spank my kids and there's nothing you can do about it? Or no, I know they really want the candy in your bag, but you cannot give them candy. Try something else. Or, you know I was 15 minutes late, but I want my session anyway. I want it, right? Or I know you said that you don't give digital files, but I want them anyway. You need to give me my digital files. What do you do? How can you explain to a client that your studio policies are not negotiable? One thing I think we need to remember is that people don't read. We don't read all the policies that are put in front of us every time, you know, that little iTunes agreement comes up. We're not sitting there reading every single line of that big long document. We scroll to the bottom and we click accept. People do the same thing with our paperwork. And as much as we can say, oh, but it's super, super important to them and to me that they do this, I'm sure Apple feels the same way about their iTunes agreement. It's super important that we read it so that we understand exactly what we're getting into. So don't expect them to read anything. So if you really, really want them to understand it, you are going to have to explain these things to them. And by explaining these things to them before they become an issue, it's going to help you on the back end. So the biggest way that I think you can address some of these things is have a conversation with them. They might send you an email. They might try and contact you via social media, and that's all well and good. But many times these conversations need to go back several times. And the big thing that you can do for yourself is just pick up the phone and call them, or arrange a time to call them. Now, say it's a situation where they want more than what they're paying for. Say they want those digital files and you don't give out digital files and they didn't read the paperwork. They just made a huge assumption. By hopping on the phone, you can do a couple different things. One is you can empathize with them and they can hear it in your voice. I see some of the exchanges that are posted on in Facebook groups when it comes to how people talk in their talk to their clients. And some of it is appalling. It is just horrible grammar. It's a horrible customer service. All these things should not be hashed out via text. Call your client. Let them see that you care. The biggest thing that you can do for someone who is mad at your business is to reach out and show that you care. So when you do reach out and you listen to them and you show empathy, you can explain the reason of why you have this policy or why you don't offer what you offer. Now, here's the caveat to that, though. I don't think that you always have to explain why you have a policy in place. It's really not your client's concern. And to be honest with you, they probably don't care that much. They probably are just mad because they're not getting their way, right? So the biggest thing you can do is empathize with them. Don't do this. And this has happened to me several times. And this has also happened to some other friends of mine. If they've already paid you thousands of dollars and you've come up in a bump in the road, please do not send the pat answer of, thank you so much for your feedback. We will bring this to the attention of our leadership team at our next meeting. Have a great day. That answer is so insulting and frustrating to people because it doesn't let them know that they've literally been heard. You need to show empathy and you need to let people know that you have heard and you understand where they're coming from. That doesn't mean you're agreeing with them. That's the big thing. You can be empathetic towards someone and not agree with them. You can show kindness to someone and not agree with them. So when it comes to these things, how you address them is really, really important. So you want to, if you feel so led, you can explain the policies, why you have them. You can provide examples of where people have taken advantage of these things in the past. You can reiterate the policy and you can make it clear that the policy is not negotiable. Again, remember I said, you don't have to agree with them. This isn't the type of thing where they're disputing your policies, where if they contact you on this, you don't have to give in to anything they want. It's okay if they come back and say, I want digital files, and that's not what they purchased, and you don't want to sell them. You say, I'm sorry, digital files are not for sale, as I communicated to you this time, and this time. Now, that might make them frustrated, but we're not here to try and make everybody happy. We're here to run a business, and there will be times when we don't make people happy. In fact, if you listen to next week's episode, you're going to find out a time when I did not make someone happy and how I handled it. So having this conversation and explaining that policies are non-negotiable can be awkward and it can be challenging. But again, I think you want to do it on the phone. I would think you want to reiterate your policy. I think you want to be empathetic. If you feel so inclined, you can offer some sort of alternative solution. Now, here's the way that I would do that, is the fact that if someone wants something from you that you aren't ready to provide, when you have this first initial conversation, you do not need to come to a resolution at that point in time. It is perfectly okay that you call them and say, it's unfortunate that you're unhappy. I thought I had explained everything thoroughly before your session. It seems like now we have a situation and I want to try and resolve this the best way possible for you and for me, because I need to understand this is a compromise. Now you've entered into a compromise. You're not just going to give away the farm because they say, I want this, you need to give it to me. That's not how it works. So find out what their big issue is. Is there a big issue that they misunderstood something? Is there an issue that you maybe took too long to deliver the images? Did you fall down on the job or did they not pay attention? If you fell down on the job, you need to take ownership of that. If you didn't, then you can decide if you want to offer an alternative solution. But the best way to do this is not on that initial phone call, unless it's a total, unless you don't mind at all and you just want them out of your hair. When you're having this conversation about the misunderstanding or the miscommunication or whatever it is about the policies, You don't have to resolve it in that first phone call. You can say, thank you so much for this information. I really do appreciate it. Can you kindly give me 48 hours to get back to you so that we can come up with an appropriate solution that benefits us both? Right? Easy peasy. Most people are going to say, yes, I will look forward to hearing from you within 48 hours. And this is what I would do. I would figure out what you wanted to do, let everything cool down, call them within 24 hours. That shows that this was important to you. I had a situation once with a coach that I had submitted a complaint about some policies, and we were trying to come to a resolution, and I had to wait over a week to hear back from them. And then I'm the one that had to instigate, where's this at? I had to send them the message saying, where's this at? To me, that was completely and totally unacceptable. They knew they had an unhappy client that had paid them thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet they basically were ignoring me. And in that particular case, this seemed to be their standard mode of operations, because I know someone else was dealing with that same exact situation where they would submit a concern or a complaint and it would take over a week to get a response. That is not okay. If someone is questioning your policies, if someone is unhappy with your business, especially if they've paid you a lot of money, you owe them a timely response. So keep that in mind. And the last thing that you really want to make sure that you do when you're dealing with people who are pushing up against your policies is remain professional at all times. Remain calm and polite, even if they are doing everything they can to make you angry. You remaining calm and polite is going to save your business. If you fly off the handle, or if you get very upset, or it comes down to a shouting match, or he said, she said, or anything like that, and you're going back and forth in messages, and you can tell that their anger is ramping up, that is not going to look good on anybody. So that is how I resolve uncomfortable situations when it comes to studio policies. But here is one other thing that studio policies can really, really save you on. And I've done this in my studio several times. Studio policies, like I said at the beginning, are there for your protection, right? So if someone is not confronting you in an adversarial situation and they're not unhappy, but they're asking you to do something, or they're asking you to provide something that you don't want to do, and they've received copies of your policies, instead of saying, I can't do this, or we won't do this, blame it on the policies. Say, it is our studio policy that we do not do this, this, or this. It is studio policy that we do not allow smoking in the studio space. It is studio policy that clients who show up 15 minutes late are asked to reschedule their session with a new session retainer. It is studio policy dot, dot, dot. Studio policy takes the personality out of the equation, and it can save you. They don't know that you wrote the studio policies. People usually don't put that together. They might come back and say, well, it's your business and you can do whatever you want. And if they say that, they're just really kind of being a jerk about it. But by having the third person of the studio policies and blaming certain things on the policies, it can keep everybody much more even keeled when it comes to the emotional part of these transactions, because these transactions can get emotional. So here's what we have from this podcast that I hope you can take away. One is, you need studio policies. Your studio policies are part of your business, which means they're going to change and grow. You might need to add things to your policies, or at some point in time, you might need to take something out, and that's totally fine. It's important that your clients get these policies ahead of time. It's important that you stick to these policies and have a way of addressing situations when they come up. When people get emotionally ramped up, emotionally upset at something with your business that might have to do with your policies, remember to remain professional, remain kind. You don't necessarily have to resolve it at the first phone call, but I highly recommend that you do call them And then it's just a standard mode of operations when people are asking how your business works or questioning certain policies. When it comes to some of the things, it is just studio policy. It's not your policy. It's the studio policy. And by putting that in third person, it can really, really save you a lot of frustration and also raise the level of professionalism when it comes to your business. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode of the Focal Points Podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. If you've enjoyed this, if you want to head over to iTunes and give us a review, I would really, really appreciate that. Otherwise, we will look forward to seeing you next week on the Focal Points Podcast, brought to you by my friends at Enphoto. Hey everyone, I hope you've enjoyed the program. I have a quick request. If you've enjoyed this program or enjoyed other programs that we've brought to you courtesy of Focal Points and Enphoto, I would love for you to head over to Spotify or iTunes and leave us a review. These help us more than you know when it comes to getting the word out about the program and how we can help other photographers who might be dealing with some of the same struggles that you are. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your review today.